You are now listening to the Legends Lingo podcast, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Here are your hosts, Al and Powder.
All right, everybody, welcome back in Legends Lingo podcast, episode 217, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Make sure to check everything going on StudentUnionSports.com right now. They had great coverage throughout all of March Madness. Shout out to the UConn Huskies for winning the men's national championship. And shout out to LSU for winning the women's national championship. I know it happened a couple weeks ago, but we forgot to do it. Silly us. So shout out to the men's and women's teams at UConn and LSU, respectively. Alan Hegan in the house. Tom Powder Cadmus here. Haircut and all. Just Powder, you have a glow to you today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Actually, sorry, hitting the gym this week. Been Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, just trying to get back into going. Not going at 5 a.m. like I was, just going. Honestly, I've been getting there at 7:45 in the morning, and it's right in the building that I work in. I just shower there, so been feeling pretty good now.
There you go. Because you work, what, at 10 to 6 or 9 to 5?
I do, like, 8 to 4, 8 to 4:30, like, depending on what time I get in.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So that makes sense. So Powder's hitting the gym. I am not, and I'm okay with it because I'm just accepting who I am. I'm happy with who I am. Not really. I got to make some changes lifestyle wise, but we'll see what happens with that. What doesn't need to change is the success of Boston sports for two teams and for one team. They just continue to absolutely suck. And it's going to be miserable. And we're going to talk about it in misery with you all. Programming note for next week, I will not be on the episode next week. I will be on vacation with my lovely girlfriend in Newport, Rhode Island. Powder will be here next week. Yep. Who's going to join him? Who knows? Maybe Powder has his first ever solo episode. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But
we'll see. But I will have an episode out next week. We'll just figure out who's with me or what's going on for that.
So it'll be fun. And of course, the 1 week I miss, you know, it's the beginning of the Celtics and Bruins playoff runs and the timing, of course. It is what it is. But all right, we got a lot to talk about. We might get to Patriots at the end. There's going to be a little bit more emphasis next week, hint, hint, wink, wink, Powder, about the NFL draft, because the draft is going to be the week after. We'll have a big draft special, like who we want, who we don't want, what we think is going to happen, all that stuff. Maybe we'll even try to get a guest for that week, but we'll see what happens. All right. We have Red Sox. We have Celtics. We have Bruins. Powder, what do you want to talk about first?
Let's just get the misery out of the way first, just because the other two topics I think are fun. But
all right. So let's rip the Band-Aid off the wound right now, shall we? The Boston Red Sox stink. As we're recording, it is Wednesday, April 12th. And they're about to play their third game of a four-game series against the Rays, in which they lost the first two games by a combined score of, let's see, 8-2. I think that's right around there, because I think they lost 1-0 and 7-2. This team is really infuriating, because look at their season so far. They've literally been Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They win 2 out of 3 against Baltimore to open up the year. They get swept by the Pirates. They sweep the Tigers. And so far, they lose the first two to Tampa. And not only that, Powder, the injuries are starting to pile up.
Yep.
Adam Duvall, I think they confirmed it, right? Broken left wrist, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe that's what it is.
Yep, broken left wrist, diving for a fly ball in Detroit, which he probably could have let drop in front of him and still been in the lineup tonight, but you know, it is what it is. He's on the 10-day IL until they learn more. That's just a brutal blow to a guy that won the AL Player of the Week the very first week, because he was just going crazy.
He was on absolute fire.
Absolute tear. And before I kind of continue this, Powder, I just want your overall thoughts on this Red Sox team after 11 games, because I have my takes, but I want to hear from you first.
Kind of like we talked about to preview the season. I feel like the Red Sox, like you said last year, they're consistently inconsistent. Like, you get those, like, even the first game against Tampa, who Tampa right now is 11-0. They're having one of the best starts in MLB history with 11-0 and stuff like that. Game one of the series, Red Sox were 0-0 into the eighth inning and then let up a home run late in that game in the bottom of the eighth, where that's a game where you get great pitching and your offense goes quiet, but other games you score, like the Red Sox have shown, they, like in the Detroit series, they scored 24 runs in three games. That's really good for a three-game series. Like, but now their offense is quiet. They're not scoring at all in the two games. They just can never seem to have a full team effort, everybody playing well. Either the pitching, they get hammered, or the offense just can't find a way to score a run.
So I will say this. The first game of the Rays series, yes, was very competitive. The Red Sox had the bases loaded, two outs, and their best hitter up, Rafi Devers. Yeah. And of course, he just looks at strike three. I mean, he was probably expecting something else, but that's not the way you want to have a competitive at bat in that situation. Because if he gets a base hit, two runs come in, you probably take that first game, and you're looking at a different kind of feel for game three heading into Wednesday night as we're recording. But I want to just kind of break it down a little bit piece by piece to start. I know it's only 11 games in, but for those 11 games, Powder, let's give a grade just to have some fun with it. We'll do hitting. We'll do fielding. Actually, we can't really do fielding because fielding, I mean, I don't know. Let's at least do hitting, starting pitching, and bullpen. We'll at least do those three, and we'll go from there. Overall, hitting grade, the Red Sox in general, what do you give them?
I'd probably give them a B-. Like, they do have some games where they've been scoring runs, but it hasn't been consistent where they're hit, where even the top five guys are hitting consistently. Like, especially losing Adam Duvall, that's a huge hit to that offense. But still, they've had games where they've shown some promise and everything, so I don't think their hitting's been awful this year.
A B- is fair. I was thinking B-, C+, like that range. Yeah. Obviously, one thing doesn't change with the Red Sox. I don't know if you noticed this, but when they're at home, they can score so many runs.
Yeah.
When they go on the road, they seem to forget how to hit, for the most part.
Yeah.
But that hasn't changed since you and I have been kids. Like, I just feel like that never will change as we continue to watch Red Sox baseball. So now, the hitting's at a B-. So we'll give them a B-. We'll be generous. The bullpen. I'll go first on this one. Yeah. I've actually been impressed with the bullpen for the most part. I'm going to give them like a B+.
Yeah.
I think the bullpen has really shown up. You know, you have Chris Martin. Yeah, he blew the Rays game in the first game of the series, giving up the home run to Brandon Lau. But even so, Martin's been really good. Jansen's been fine when he's had his save opportunities. Josh Winkowski's been a guy coming out of the bullpen. He had 5 appearances, a 1 ERA, and he had, I think, 9 strikeouts in 5 innings. So he's finding ways to get outs, which is big.
Yeah.
Richard Blair was doing okay. Like, their bullpen's okay.
Yeah.
Like, now it's just a question of, can they have a lead to give to the bullpen? So, I don't know. I'm going B+. What do you got?
I would say right around a B+. Let's go B, just be a little different, but yeah, like you said, they've been good pretty much all year. Haven't had too many huge hiccups with the bullpen that you've gotten too frustrated with.
So the bullpen's fine. The hitting's fine for the most part. Starting pitching. What's the grade?
I'd say a D at best.
I'm going to go D-. Yeah. And there's one reason.
A lot of home runs.
Well, yes. And also... Yeah. Nick Pivetta prevents them from being an F.
Yep.
Because I think Pivetta's actually had a really good first two starts of the season. Pitched well against Pittsburgh for the most part, just couldn't get any run support. Pitched well against Tampa, didn't get any run support at all. So Pivetta has been fine. Chris Sale picked it up in the second start of the season against Detroit. He's going against Tampa tonight. Let's see if he's going to be even better as he continues to kind of come back from really not pitching for really 3 years.
Yeah.
That's kind of what's been for Sale. But this starting pitching has been awful. You know, Corey Kluber was not even hit or miss. He was really bad opening day. And then his second start against the Pirates, a little bit better, but still not great. Garrett Whitlock gave up, and you said it with all the pitchers, but Garrett Whitlock specifically, a lot of home runs given up. That's what the starting pitching needs to do. Keep the ball in the ballpark. Limit the big mistakes. That's not, and they're not doing that right now. And that's something that they're going to need to do because they can't rely on their offense every night, especially guys like Kike Hernandez that are 0 for their last 27. Like, Kike is a problem right now, Powder.
Yeah.
Kike is a problem. Masataka Yoshida, he's going to be day-to-day now. I think he has, like, pulled a hamstring or something like that. But he was only hitting, like, 230. He had a really hot start the first couple games, but he's kind of cooled off. Only one home run. But I'm not giving up on Yoshida, obviously, but still not the start that you want to see from a guy that you invested a lot in. 5 for 85, I think, was the contract. So you have faith in this guy. And I'm thinking of other guys in their lineup. Devers, I feel like Devers, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like Devers doesn't get the big hits in big situations.
Yeah, I feel like right now, this point, he hasn't been getting a lot of those big hits when we need him most.
Correct. He's getting his hits, yep. just not in the big moments that, like you said, we need him to. Alex Verdugo's had a really good start to the season. As Powder sneezes into his arm.
Sorry about that.
Nah, you're good. But Verdugo's had a really hot start to the season, which has been a plus sighting because Alex Cora called out Alex Verdugo and was like, dude, you need to step up. And so far he's been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy to see that. I'm just trying to go. Christian Arroyo, he hasn't been good this year.
No.
I'm trying the catchers. I think here's a take. I think Connor Wong is going to win the catching position battle when it's all said and done. He's throwing out base runners, putting up decent at bats. Reese McGuire is still hitting decently too, but I think you're going to see Wong getting a lot of the reps.
Yeah, I saw him when I went to the Woo Sox this past summer, and he looks like a good overall catcher for major leagues. Like, obviously, most catchers don't hit, but he looks like he has some sneaky pop in him, and he's good behind, like you say, he's very good behind the plate.
He is very good behind the plate. Good arm, too. Like, he threw out two base runners the other night against the Rays, which is really good to see.
Yeah.
So, again, I think he's going to end up being the guy.
Yeah.
Anything else with the Red Sox that you really want to cover?
I think that's really it for what I have.
So let me just ask you this real quick, because before we move on to the winter sports teams about to start their playoff runs, looking at the Red Sox schedule, they have two more games with the Rays, and then they have a weekend series with the Angels. Shohei Ohtani is going to pitch on Marathon Monday. So that's a little scary to think about. So they have 4 with the Angels, 3 at home against the Twins, 3 on the road against Milwaukee, 3 on the road against Baltimore, and then 3 at home against Cleveland to end their April. Do we see any sort of hope for this team as far as actually contending? Or is this the product that we're going to see? Is it going to be a maybe 500 team, you know, maybe a little even under 500? Like, is this what we're seeing, or do we see brighter things ahead?
No, I think we're going to be seeing the same thing all year where they're consistently inconsistent, where I think they will have stretches where they win 5 out of 7, 9 out of 11, and you're like, oh, wow, but then they're going to lose 4 out of 7, and then you're like, yep, that's the Red Sox we know at this point. I was going to say no and love, but I don't think you really love them at this point right now when they're not playing right. Well.
But see, the thing was, they had that chance to start off hot, right? Because look at the three opponents they had. Orioles, Pirates, Tigers. They should have gone 6-3 or 7-2, not 5-4.
I agree.
With two of those being series wins, by the way, Powder, you went 5-4 and you won two of your three series.
Yes.
So, again, that's like, and I know you took it from me, and I'll allow you to have it, but I want to trademark consistently inconsistent. That's what this Red Sox team is going to be. Unless the starting pitching gets better, which I think with Brian Baio back in the rotation, I think that's going to help a little bit. James Paxton will hopefully be a guy that can give you some innings. And then guys like Tanner Houck and, you know, Carter Crawford in the bullpen. I know Crawford got DFA'd for, or not DFA'd, he got sent down for Garrett Whitlock coming back up. But maybe you even consider throwing Whitlock back in the bullpen. Like, there are arms that are bullpen arms.
Yes.
And that's what you need to keep them as, bullpen arms. And if I have to see Bobby Dalbec play shortstop for more than like three games this season, I might puke. I seriously might puke.
Yeah.
I can't do it with Bobby Dalbec. And also, the Red Sox are facing a guy that's been in AAA, so if they can't hit this guy, like, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, that's enough of the Red Sox. They give us enough pain and misery and heartache and agony and all the other negative words, adjectives that you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Bruins for a second, because I feel like a lot of this is going to be Celtics, which is great because obviously I love the Celtics and I know you are a Celtics fan as well. So with the Bruins, we got to give them their flowers. Most points in NHL history, most amount of wins in NHL history in a season. They're at 64, 12, and 5. They have one more game on Thursday night at Montreal against the Canadiens, a game in which you're probably going to see a lot of the Providence Bruins play in before they play in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, which is looking like a matchup with either the New York Islanders or the Florida Panthers in the first round. Sorry, Zach Jezierro, but your Buffalo Sabres are out of the playoff push. It is what it is. What can we really say, Powder? Let me ask you this, Powder. And I heard this on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and I think this is a great topic to talk about. When you think of all-time teams, will the 2022-2023 Boston Bruins be a part of those all-time teams in the NHL and maybe even sports?
I think they definitely will be one of those all-time teams that people remember, especially I heard some people talk in the office today, like no one really predicted them. They thought they'd be good, but they turned out to be obviously historic with how their regular season is.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want them to be like the, what year was it, like 2017 Warriors or whatever year that was, that they only lost 9 games and lost to Cavaliers.
Yeah.
In the finals, like you don't want them to be one of those teams where they're historic. 07 Patriots, where they're remembered for all they did, but then in the playoffs come up short. So I really think that I was talking to my buddy last night. They lost 12 games all year. How is a team gonna beat them 4-0-7? I can't see it.
I can't either for a couple of reasons. Reason number one, they're the best third period team in hockey. Yeah. So if they are tied or they're leading going into the third period, you might as well forget that game.
Just don't even play the third period.
Exactly. Just give the Bruins the win or, you know, just good luck.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, the goalie tandem of Linus Allmark and Jeremy Swayman has been otherworldly this year.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Allmark. Allmark should be getting the Vezina this year. He should be.
He should. Yeah. 40 wins. Unbelievable. Unbelievable year. Hopefully, I think I didn't hear any reports after last night. I was watching the tail end of the game and saw him get hurt, but I don't know if it was just precautionary. They took him out, but
yeah. So Montgomery after the game said it was just precautionary. He's not going to play probably against the Canadians. You're probably either going to see Swayman or maybe the Providence Bruins goalie. I don't know who it is, but that's what you're probably going to see. You're probably going to see a lot of the AHL guys, which is fine.
Oh yeah.
Rest the guys you need to, like David Krejci. You need him back on the second line to play center. So you know what? Rest him up for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I hate to use the word legacy here, Powder, but this is a legacy playoffs for that core of Bergeron, Krejci, and Marchand.
Oh, so bad, because they've come up short twice since they won it. Were those three on the 11 team?
Yeah, I think, okay. They were. They were.
Okay. But yeah, they've come up short twice since then. This is where they finish it. They ride off into the sunset, whatever, and just call it a career, and they end on the best note possible.
They need to, because Bergeron, I think he had his kids at the game. Yeah. And I was just like, okay, this is going to be the end. Like, you're not bringing your kids on the bench for the last home game of the season just because.
Yeah.
Like he knows that this is the last ride. And you know what? You have no excuse. like we said, best third period team in hockey, the goalie tandem, they have so much depth.
Yeah.
I mean, you have guys like, you have Pastrnak playing on the second line, who's a 60-goal scorer.
Who's probably going to be second in, was it the Hart Trophy as the MVP?
Yeah.
But he's probably going to be like second to McDavid, who's having a otherworldly season, and he deserves it. But any other season, Pastrnak could easily win MVP.
He could. Very, very easily. And then you have it all set up. Like, everyone has to come through you. The Eastern Conference playoffs are through Boston. The Stanley Cup final will have to go through Boston.
Yep.
You have it all set up. Now you just got to take care of business. You can lose every road game and still win the cup.
Yep.
If you take care of business on your home ice, which you should be able to, I know the NHL, home ice doesn't mean much, but you should be able to take advantage of what is given to you right now.
Yes.
And I know we talked about this a few weeks ago, and I'm going to reemphasize it because I think we still agree. If you get to the cup final and lose a competitive series, like, yes, it'll sting. And a lot of people will say it's a failure of a year. I don't think it's a failure of a year if you get to the cup final and if you lost in seven to, like, Colorado just because of whatever. Sure, the Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci era will have a little bit of a tarnished legacy because they only won one cup together. But the season itself is still insanely successful.
Yes. Especially, but again, I feel like I remember us talking before season started that we're like, okay, they'll be competitive, but who knows how deep they'll make in the playoffs. Are they going to, like, what are they going to look throughout the whole season? And obviously we didn't have this. I don't think either of us would have thought, like, obviously a record breaking year, no one's going to predict. I don't think anybody's going to predict that, but for them to be the President's Cup team, to have all this success and everything, is just, you want to see them win it, cap it off with the Stanley Cup.
You need to. It's been 12 years. You had your loss against Chicago in 13. You lost game 7 against the Blues back in 19. You had opportunities to cement that legacy. Again, what a way that it would be to have the best record in the NHL, break the all-time points record, break the all-time wins record, host through the playoffs, get to the Stanley Cup final, win it, have Bergeron hoist the trophy, then Krejci, and then the next day they say, thanks for everything, Boston, but we're retiring.
Yeah.
That's how you have to do it. And then guess what? Next year, you still have Brad Marchand. You still have Pastrnak. You still have Charlie McAvoy. You still have Hampus Lindholm. And then you can build off that.
Yes.
But again, this year, go win it for Bergeron. Go win it for Krejci. And make sure that Linus Ullmark is okay. Make sure everyone's good to go. Because Marathon Monday, Bruins playoff run starts. And I think
that crowd is going to be very wild on Marathon Monday. Especially, I bet a lot of people are going to go a little bit of the marathon, head over to Red Sox game, and then head over to TD Garden.
Let me rephrase that. I'm going to tweak that a little bit. Go to Marathon Monday. Watch Shohei Ohtani shove against the Red Sox.
But somehow the Red Sox will win because the Angels can never win a Shohei Ohtani on the mound.
Okay, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
And then go to the Bruins game, and then it's just going to be absolutely bonkers.
Oh, yeah.
Because I hope by the time, because like I said, I'm not going to be here next episode, but the following episode, I'm hoping that the Bruins are either on the verge of sweeping or have swept their first round opponent, and we're talking Eastern Conference semifinals, which I think is very, very possible. But
yeah.
Bruins against either, I think it's going to be the Islanders or the Panthers, first round, Marathon Monday. Man, is it going to be fun to watch.
Oh, yes. I can't wait to. I love playoff hockey.
Playoff hockey is fun. Maybe if there's a night that we're recording and they're playing, we do a little live segment, a little live reaction.
Yep.
We'll see what happens with that.
But yes, we will.
We're going to move into the other Boston sports team, the Celtics. But before we do that, Powder's going to talk to us about our good friends at A&B Kitchen and Bar.
Oh, yeah. Maybe, Al, hey, maybe while the Bruins and Celtics are making deep playoff runs, we can grab some food one night, not actually go to a playoff game, but grab some food at the best restaurant right next to TD Garden. That's AB Kitchen and Bar. And like I talk about every week, especially now that the Bruins and Celtics are about to have hopefully deep playoff runs where the atmosphere is unbelievable. Right around the TD Garden, the best place to meet up before, after, even during a game or concert at TD Garden is AB Kitchen Bar. They have the best meatloaf, the best burgers, whatever you want, they have there. They also have a sister restaurant on the North Shore of Mass called AB Burgers in Beverly, Mass. That's the best burgers I've ever had in my life. If you go there, make sure you tell them the Legends Lingo Boys sent you.
Shout out to our friends at A&B Kitchen Bar, A&B Burgers. Great place. Fantastic ownership. And better times ahead. I'm just watching this Chris Sale start. I'm trying to see if he gets Yandy Diaz to strike out. It's a 2-2 count as we're recording, but we'll see what happens.
Why do you need Chris Sale to strike people out, Al?
The Boston Celtics are playing the Atlanta Hawks in the first round of the NBA playoffs. And he got him to ground out. That's good. Oh, wait a minute. It's Bobby Dalbec. Oh, he made the throw. Okay, good. By the way, Bobby Dalbec rocking the glasses.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's crazy to see, isn't it?
Yep.
All right.
Hey, let's talk some you, the Rexpec group of people.
I actually, real quick, before we talk Celtics, little side story. I had to wear my glasses because my contact lenses were all out, and the last pair I had just like were trash. Yeah. So I had to wear my glasses for like a week and a half straight. Today was the first day that I had contacts back, and it felt so amazing.
Oh, I bet. I overwore my contacts last year, and now I've been wearing glasses a lot more.
For sure. Like, you got to be careful. You need once in a while, like, those rest days where your glasses just kind of are over your face. You give your eyes a break, but anyways. Celtics. Round one, game one, Saturday afternoon, 3:30, against the Atlanta Hawks in the first round. So the Atlanta Hawks beat the Miami Heat in the 7-8 playing game, 116-105 in Miami. So that means that Atlanta gets the 7 seed. They will play the Celtics in the first round. This, Powder, I'm going to tell you, is the absolute best-case scenario.
Oh, yeah. I was so happy when I woke up and saw that Miami lost. Or I forget, what time did that game end? Maybe it was before I went to bed, but
it ended around like right around like 10 or something like that.
Okay, but so maybe, yeah, I was awake, but I just, whenever I saw it, I was like, yes, thank God.
But again, Celtics, Hawks. Now, going into this matchup, people might be like, oh, we have to deal with Trae Young. Because Atlanta, I'll tell you one thing, Potter, Atlanta's got a decent team.
Yeah.
Like, they have Trae Young, they have DeJounte Murray, who they traded for from the San Antonio Spurs in the offseason. They have John Collins, they have Clint Capella, they have the dude off the bench, Okonwu, I think is his name. I can't remember his name exactly, but he's a big presence. He's a guy that can rebound and a guy that can, you know, put the ball back up and in everything. But I still, with the Celtics team, man, first of all, the Hawks are not good defensively. Like, I was watching them just kind of like letting up in possessions against the Heat. And I love the guard matchup for the Celtics, Powder, because you have Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown, who are 6'4", 6'5", and then Jaylen Brown's like 6'8", I think.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, against Trae Young, who's like 6'2", and then DeJounte Murray, that's like 6'5". Like, you like... I love the guard matchup. I really do. Jaylen Brown's 6'6". So you have 6'4 and 6'6". And I'm just making sure I have all the measurements and stuff right. Going up against, trying to see if I can find it here, 6'1". So Trae Young's only like 6'1", 6'2". Yeah. And then you have DeJounte Murray, who is, I can't even find it, of course. Hold, 6'5". So the matchup with Brown won't be like overbearing. Like, it's a pretty comparable matchup size wise. But again, the athleticism, the way the Celtics play defense. Excuse me, this Celtics team should not have to worry, because guess what? If you can shut down the guard play, you're telling me the trio of like Capella and Collins and DeAndre Hunter and the other guy that I mentioned before,
You're telling me they're going to win you a series? Give me a break. Like, give me a break, especially if Rob Williams is healthy. That's the key. Rob Williams healthy. Keep Malcolm Brogdon healthy. Keep Derek White healthy. Because after you deal with Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown, and they, because Brown usually plays the whole first quarter, and Tatum usually sits. But when Tatum sits, then you bring in Derek White. And then when Smart sits, then you bring in Malcolm Brogdon, who, by the way, Powder, I think is going to win Sixth Man of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Which he should. Like, Malcolm Brogdon has been the ideal sixth man for that Celtics team. So you're telling me that Atlanta is going to come in and beat Boston? They maybe could squeak out game one. But after that, come on. Like, I wrote an article on FanSided about it. I have Celtics in five. And Chris Sale gave up a three-run home run. Great. Super.
What else is new?
Super. Oh, it's Randy Arozarena. Oh, okay. Anyways, so with that, going back to the Celtics, because this Red Sox team, anyways, going back to the Celtics, I can't see this Hawks team beating the Celtics in a seven-game series. I just can't.
No. I like, what do you say, in five?
I said in five, because Trae Young would have to score like 40 a game just to give them a chance.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to be like the couple years ago, the first year Durant was with the Nets and the Celtics went up against them. And the only reason the Celtics won a game was because Tatum scored 50. Like, that's
right.
I feel like similar matchup right now with the Hawks and the Celtics, where Trae Young would have to have an unbelievable game just to give them a chance.
And listen, what I truly think is going to happen, this is what I think is going to happen. Celtics are going to win a close game, game one, because they're going to be a little rusty because they are not going to have played for like a week. They're going to win big game two on Tuesday. They're going to win game three in Atlanta. Atlanta will win game four to avoid the sweep, and then Boston takes care of it in five.
Yeah. It's going to be gentleman's sweep.
A gentleman's sweep, exactly. Because I think, but the thing is, they cannot overlook the Hawks.
No.
Their hashtag Powder on Twitter, like the Celtics account, and this is one, some of them are so cliche. Like, for Patriots, it's like, forever New England. It's like, no. Yeah. This one I like. Unfinished business.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what this is. This postseason is unfinished business. Get back to the finals. Win the finals. Get over the hump. Give Tatum and Brown their first of hopefully a couple championships together. This is the time to do it.
Yes, it is.
Because I'll tell you what, I'm going to throw something crazy out there. So Miami lost, so they're going to have to play the winner of Toronto and Chicago, who's playing on Wednesday night. So as we're recording, they're playing tonight. Tonight being, again, Wednesday. So by the time this comes out, it'll already have happened. But if Miami can somehow sneak in as the 8th seed, I'm not saying they'll beat Milwaukee, because they're not going to beat Milwaukee, but they can make it interesting. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, they'll definitely steal a game or two from Milwaukee.
I think so. But again, we'll see what happens. And guess what? The Celtics in round two, if everything goes according to plan, Powder, they're going to play Philly in round two.
Yeah.
And Milwaukee's either going to get Cleveland or the Knicks. And both those teams, pretty good. Yep. I'm not just saying that because they're in the playoffs. Like, they got a lot of talent. Especially that Cleveland team. That Cleveland team could give Milwaukee a run for their money, too.
Definitely.
But going back to the Celtics-Hawks series, anything you want to add, Powder? Do you want to give a prediction on who wins the series, how many games?
No, I'm going to have to agree with you. I think it's Celtics in five.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see any other difference. The only way the Hawks will keep it competitive is if they get second chance opportunities. That's how they beat the Heat.
Yeah.
Because they got so many rebounds, so many second chance opportunities. Miami's defense isn't good, and Miami's offense was the worst in the league this year. So it made it even easier, but Atlanta's defense isn't good. The Celtics have one of the top offenses and one of the top defenses in the NBA, according to rating. They look like they're going to be ready to go. And I guarantee you, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are foaming at the mouth, waiting to get back to the finals. Step one is right in front of you.
Yep.
16 wins, 64 good quarters of basketball. Take care of the first four games, first 16 quarters. Get yourself to the semifinal with some good rest in between.
Yes, definitely.
One more Celtics question, then we can kind of wrap up. who is one guy that you want to see have a big series for the Celtics that you wouldn't normally expect? Like, yeah, we know Tatum. We know Brown is probably going to have a big series. Who's one guy that you really want to see step up in this first round matchup with the Hawks?
I mean, I kind of want a guy coming off the bench. I kind of want Payne Pritchard to just come off the bench, score, like shoot his threes and get those big buckets when the starters are not on the floor.
Okay, so Payne Pritchard, that's yeah. I like that. Here's the only problem, though, with Brogdon and White coming off the bench first,
yeah.
He's not going to see a lot of mids. And I'm not saying that because it's you, Powder. I just yeah. I don't know. Because Pritchard's good. He had a triple-double in the last game when nobody was playing. But even so, triple-double is a triple-double.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know where he's going to fit in this. I don't know where he's going to fit in this rotation right now. But I do hope that he fits somewhere. I really do. Yeah. For me, it's Rob Williams. I want to see, is the knee good enough to go? Can he play 4 games in a row, 5 games in a row? Yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on in between, a lot of rest time. But will Rob Williams be able to be that defensive presence? Will he be able to dominate down low, especially rebounding and scoring? Joe Mazzulla wants him to score.
Yep.
Excuse me. So if he can score and add an element to the game that the Hawks didn't think of before, that can open up the floor for guys like Al Horford. For guys like Grant Williams when he's on the floor. There's a lot of opportunities there. So I think we're feeling pretty confident in this Celtics series.
Yes.
I'm good with it. So yeah. are you I'm ready for some playoff runs, Powder. We need some playoff basketball, some playoff hockey.
Yes. It's been far too long since Boston sports has seen a championship.
Correct. Because we know the Red Sox aren't doing it.
Yep.
We know the Red Sox are just... it's 3-0. Unbelievable. Anyways, anything else we want to talk about tonight, Powder?
Just real quick, probably 1 minute quick thing, but shout out to Brady Ware out of the Division II University of Indianapolis on this past Friday, having one of the greatest accomplishments you could probably have in a single game in baseball. Threw a no-hitter with 11 Ks and hit for the cycle in the same exact game.
Pretty good.
Yep.
Pretty good. That's Shohei Ohtani 2.0.
Yep.
Literally. Oh, man. Oh, give me a strikeout there. Anyways, make sure to rate and subscribe to the Legends Lingo podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, and everywhere else where you can get your podcast. Again, check out studentunionsports.com. If you want to be a part of a great team, whether it's writing, being an editor, doing some stuff behind the scenes, whatever you want to do, make sure to reach out to the Student Union Sports boys. Liam Smith is your guy. Excuse me. There will be an episode next week. I will not be on it, but I'm looking forward to listening to it. Powder, I know we're in great hands with Powder running the ship, and he is going to be into that hosting role for a week.
Yep.
But if nothing else, that is next week's primary host, Tom Powder Cadmus. I'm your host, Alan Hegan, for this week. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. So, 18.
Yes, sir.